enough for her to do it, I guess, wanting something from the Lord, but she pressed through that crowd.
Yeah.
Amen. Until she got to where the Lord was. Amen. Sometimes we just have to press through, don't we? When we really want something from the Lord. Well, anyway, I found that, thought I'd read it. We'll go ahead and do the Word of God, what we felt like preaching this evening. And, amen. If you have your Bibles for just a little while, try not to hold you too long. Amen. We'll turn over to Exodus chapter 33. And we'll go there this evening. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Amen. Amen. Speaking about Moses here, when he was on the mountain, receiving the tables of the law of God, actually renewing them, really, but anyway. Verse 18 said, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Dear Lord, we ask you, God, one more time for your touch, your glory, Lord, your anointing of the Holy Ghost. We can't do anything without you, Lord. We know that. We're just normal people here, just needing you one more time. And God, I ask you, Lord, you come by and touch these tipped lips of clay, Lord, that we speak only what you'd have us to say. Nothing more, nothing less, Lord. Help us to have open hearts to hear and receive your word. God, apply it to our lives so we may live closer to you every day. And God, I ask it in your name, Jesus, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. This is a very familiar story. If you read this story, or you have, I'm sure, in the past, you read about, if you go back into chapters here, if you want to, you can go back to verse chapter 32, and you read of Moses going up on the mountain at one point, and God giving him the Ten Commandments. God gave him the law and wrote it down for him, you know. And it was all nice, and, probably looked real neat. You know, that's how I always think about it when God did it. It was perfect little, you see the pictures of Moses and you see the little Ten Commandments, the little round things there and coming down off the mountain. I like to think about when God did it, that's probably how he did it. You know, he carved that rock out just perfect and wrote them all down and explained to Moses everything. He wrote it just perfect. But when Moses came down off the mountain, well, he found the children of Israel there had gotten disgruntled, had wondered where Moses was. He'd been on the mountain too long, and got to wondering what was going on. And so they decided they wanted a God they could see. They wanted a God they could follow them, and God that could be in their midst other than by cloud or by fire. And so they decided they wanted to make a calf. And so Aaron, of course, he pitched in and act like when Moses came down with the children, the people of God was going to destroy me, He acted like he was afraid of them. But anyway, he gave into their wants and didn't show them what they really needed. And so Aaron chipped in and made the golden calf. And so the story goes that Moses came down. And when he came down, then, of course, he got a little bit upset. I don't know about you, but after all that time alone with God, and God had given me the Ten Commandments, and God had showed us the law and told us what we had to do, told me what to do if it was me and my physical man, I'd probably been a little bit upset, too, if I came back down here and the people was, frolicking around and having all kinds of crazy things going on, and they were dancing before this golden calf, and he'd been alone with God. Amen. He'd been there with the real God, but when he came down, the children of God wasn't even worshiping him. They was worshiping something else and an idol. And it got to him. It probably broke his heart more than anything. Moses here looking at him and Moses seeing and thinking about what he went through in Egypt. And here they are in front of the molten calf, And so anyway, Moses came down, got a little bit upset and broke those Ten Commandments. And he went back and it tells about, only if you read on through 33 there, it talks about Moses going to the tabernacle. But then again, Moses finds himself going back up the mountain because God said, you need to come back up. We need to have another talk. And this time, Moses had to do a little work, didn't he? He had to go up there and he had to find his own stone. He had to get his, you know, I don't know what he had to write them on. I don't know how he did it. But maybe he had to take a chisel and a hammer, however it was. But Moses had to do all the work himself this time. I imagine it probably meant a lot to Moses the first time. But when Moses had to put his own sweat into it, it probably was a little bit different, wasn't it? I don't know if he'd have threw them down quite as fast the next time. But anyway, we ain't preaching about that. But anyway, I'd like to look at this here story about when Moses went up there and he was on the mountain. And Moses got so excited about being there with God, and God was so real to him, and God was so manifested himself so much to Moses at this time, that Moses got so in tune with God that it felt like that God was right there with him. Amen. God was right at hand. And so Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. Have you ever just wanted to see the glory of the Lord in a special way or something special in your life? There's times that I have had the Lord to come by and touch me in such a way that I felt His glory and I felt His presence. I felt His power different than I did the last time I felt it. You ever been there? Amen. You'll feel it sometimes this way and sometimes you'll feel it this way. There's been times that I've shouted. My feet have moved to the music as the Spirit of the Lord came down and touched me, and it felt good when I shouted and danced before the Lord. You know, David danced before the Lord, so it's not wrong to dance before the Lord. Amen. But you know, I'm sure that David at that time, when the glory of the Lord was coming back to the city, that David felt like dancing, for the glory of the Lord was coming back. Amen. And so what did David do? He danced before the Lord. Amen. His wife thought he was foolish. His wife didn't think he should dance that away. And, danced plumb out of his clothes. Some people say that, some commentators say that David didn't actually dance naked completely, but he took off that royal garment. And to them, when the king took off that royal garment, to them, it looked as if he was naked. But you know, David got so excited that the glory of the Lord was coming back home. It had been gone long enough. So David felt something inside of him made him excited, made him happy. Amen. And so, you know, there's been times that I've danced before the Lord. I ain't got quite that carried away, but I have danced before the Lord. Amen. And so, you know, I felt good, but then there's been times that I've come to church and I've sat on the front pew. I always sit over here. Sometimes I might do that. I don't know. But I sit on the front pew and I sit there and I get excited and I worship the Lord, but sometimes it's a quiet worship. I don't say a whole lot. I don't shout. I don't raise my voice. I just stand there and the glory of the Lord comes down and I weep and I cry. But that's still the glory of the Lord. Amen. Don't you like it when you get a special touch from God? Well, that's the way Moses was here. I feel like he was there on the mountain and he got so excited and he got so engulfed into the presence and the glory of the Lord that he said, Lord, I want to see you. Amen. I would love to see you. Amen. But God said, no, I can't do that. I can't show you in all my goodness and all my glory because there's not been a man been able to do that and looked upon my face and have lived. So Moses, I can't do that. You see, Moses and God had a connection. Moses and God had a relationship. Amen. Abraham was a friend of God, right? Was it David? It was a man after God's own heart. And so there's men in the Bible, but Moses had a special place with God. And Moses went to the mountain. Well, you remember the time that Abraham went to the mountain and he took his only son Isaac to the mountain. And there on the mountain, alone with God, God was just doing that to try Abraham. But Abraham got there and God said, hey, this is my friend. I wanted to see how close Abraham wanted to be to me. But Abraham proved that he would do whatever it took just to get close to God. Amen. I'll give my only son. And I know that's a symbol of Jesus Christ. But you know, Abraham was willing because he had a relationship with God. Amen. And Moses was so happy to be there. But him and God had such a relationship. They had been together before. Amen. They had been there before. They had communed before. But this time Moses just felt like that he was going to be able to see God. Amen. But God said, no, I can't do that. But you know, God always has a way of showing us His glory and showing us His hand and showing us His power and His handiwork. And God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you here in the cleft of the rock. Amen. Now I heard somebody say, That they didn't know if that rock was there, that cliff was already there. But they didn't know where it came from. But I know who it was. Brother Savage actually said. And one time he said, but you know what? He said, I like to think that maybe God just reached over and took his finger and put a mark in the side of the mountain. And said, now here's where I want you to stand, Moses, right there. Amen. Right then and there, God made a special place for Moses to insert himself into the mountainside. So that when God passed by, he said, I'm going to put my hand over you, Moses. And I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. Amen. Don't you thank God for the times that he just hides you away? Amen. I thought about that there, the cleft of the rock. Moses went there and was hiding there or sitting there waiting, no doubt, for the glory of God to pass. And he was sitting there, but when God went by, he put his hand over him. No, Moses didn't get to see his face. But the Bible says that he got to see his back parts. Amen. He got to see as God was going away. And I guess just to see that, the glory of the Lord was no doubt in that place. Amen. Can I tell you that if we want to see the glory of the Lord in our lives, if we want to have the presence of the Lord in our lives, I read over in Corinthians, I can't remember if it's first or second, but in Corinthians there's a scripture that tells about the children of Israel when they was in the wilderness. It said they all drank from that spiritual rock, that same spiritual rock, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. So if we'll get on the rock, amen, it may not have been the rock that Moses was standing on, but I tell you, if we'll stand on the rock, which is Christ, I believe we can see the glory of the Lord. Amen. I believe we can see the glory of the Lord. Now you read on here and you go on through and you read chapter 34 and you go on down and Moses comes down off the mountain. And it said in verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Talking about God. Amen. And it goes on in 33, verse 33 said, that and until Moses had done speaking with them, talking about the children of Israel, he put a veil on his face. Amen. And if I would title this tonight, I would preach on the effects of God's glory. Amen. You see, when Moses got alone on the mountain with God, and Moses began to commune with God, he didn't realize that when he came down off the mountain, that his face was shining like the sun. Amen. The children of Israel were scared of Moses. They couldn't look upon him. They couldn't look upon his face. For the brightness, somebody said that it was like lightning bolts that came off of his head. It was so bright that you couldn't look upon him. They had to put that veil over his face. Can I tell you, we need it in the day and hour that we're living in. We need somebody that will get alone in the glory of God. Amen. Get into the presence of God Almighty and say, Lord, I want my face to shine. Amen. I want to walk out of the church house. I want to walk out of my home. I want to walk out of my workplace. I want to go to work in the mornings. And I want the people to see the glory of the Lord. Amen. Now, I don't want you to have a face so bright that when you're riding down the road, you're causing cars to wreck. And you know, that wouldn't be wisdom. I don't think God would do that. But oh, just the glow on your face. Amen. I love it so much when I get into the glory of the Lord. And it has an effect on me in my life. But there's been times that I've done things that's had an effect on me. And I haven't enjoyed the effects of it. Have you? Sure we have. There's been times. Brother sister was talking about a problem or a situation that we may have. And it's just a common situation. It's just something simple, and we make it bigger. Well, when we make it bigger, obviously we got effects from that, don't we? We got things that comes our way because we didn't trust it into the hands of God, or we didn't pray just right and ask God for His will to be done, and we suffered the consequences for that. Amen. I've been there. I've done that. I don't have the T-shirt, but I've done it. Amen. And can I tell you that there's times that we'll do those things, and that the effects of it aren't good. But there's things that I did when I wasn't saved, and I've got the effects of it. Amen. There's things that come my way that the devil throws up in my face. That's just the effects of the sin that I might have committed before I gave my life to God. Amen. And no doubt you're sitting here in this seat and you're thinking there's things things that I've done. There's situations I've been in, and the effects of them have not always been that good. Amen. Hasn't always turned out just right. Well, you know, there's medications that we may take. And there's, if you read the back of the bottle, or you read the inside of the little paper they give you, and you look at all the side effects from medication, some people wouldn't take their medication, would they? If they really got to looking at it. My dad here a few years ago had some problems with his heart. And they put him on some medication, you know, and they put him on that blood thinner. Well, Dad did some research on it. He's big into herbs and stuff, you know. He likes his herbs and getting up in the morning and taking his herbs. And that's all well and good. It's all natural. And so he got to reading about that blood thinner, and come to find out, he found out that the same thing they make blood thinner out of is the same thing they made rat poison out of. So he said, well, you know, I'm not going to take that stuff and put rat poison in my body. He said, I'll just trust the Lord. Amen. Well, the doctor wanted him to take so much of it. I think he bought a bottle of it. I don't know if he took one. Did he take one? I don't think he did. But he said, I'm not going to take this mess and get it in my body. I'm going, you know, you have to run around. I don't. Maybe somebody takes it here. I don't know. Well, if you are, you know, the Lord help you. That's all I can say. But anyway, Dad said, I'm not going to take that mess. So he quit taking blood thinner. Put it up. And you know what? They kept on praying. They kept on believing. Kept on trusting the Lord. And the Lord healed him. Amen. Didn't have to take no blood thinner. Amen. That's the power of the Lord. Amen. That's the glory of the Lord. That's the presence of the Lord. But if you look at the side effects that medication may have on you, you may not want to take it. Amen. You may not want to, you know, delve into that. And you know, I got to thinking about it. You look at the side effects of sin. You look at the side effects of the world. You look at the side effects of the devil. Amen. There's a long, long list of them. Amen. The devil don't show you all the painted pictures on the other side. Amen. Not every pretty picture that Thomas Kincaid maybe turned out like every one that he sold. Amen. Not every picture that the other Michelangelo and all the other great painters painted may not have turned out like some of the greatest ones they had. That's right. But can I tell you that on the back side of that canvas, it wasn't as pretty as on the other side. Amen. You look at that cross stitching. I've seen some people do. I don't have the patience to do none of it. I can't paint. I can't paint this wall right here without messing it up. I can tell you right now. But anyway, you look at some of that cross stitching. I've seen women doing them little bitty old needles and thread. And they sit there, and I've seen some people get lost in that stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, my land, how in the world can you get lost in that? But you look on the one side, it may be a beautiful little home, and they're sitting in the foot of the mountains with a little bitty stream. But on the back side of it, you ever looked at the back side? This is a bunch of threads going everywhere, knots and everything else. Amen. Don't make no sense, does it? Amen. That's the effects of that needle making that pretty picture on the front. But if we'd always look at the other side, that's how the devil is. He don't show you the other side of sin. Amen. He don't show you the effects that sin's going to have on you. But oh, I thank God for the day when the glory of the Lord came down on my life. Amen. And the effects of sin didn't have no mark no more. Amen. But the redemption of God, of Jesus' blood, was applied to my life. Amen. And when it was applied to my life, I was able to say, I'm a son of God. Amen. It was the effects of His glory. It was the effects of His touch. It was the effects of His blood that came down and touched me. Amen. And I've been a different person ever since. Amen. There's been something about the glory of the Lord. And when you get into it, it'll have an effect on the people around you. Amen. Amen. It sure will. Moses came down. And Moses was their great leader, was he not? Amen. And Moses came down. And he had something, it was something different about him. Amen. There was a different look. And the people couldn't look upon him. Amen. For the glory of the Lord was so bright. The glory of the Lord was so real. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I can only imagine what it was like. As I said a while ago, the times that I felt like worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord, and the Lord came down and touched my life and touched my soul. Amen. I can only imagine what it felt like for Moses to be standing in that room with anticipation in his heart. Amen. I don't know if he stood there and hid his eyes. I don't know what he did. But I know this one thing. Moses knew that the Lord God of Israel was about to pass by. Amen. Have you ever felt that time in your life when you didn't know where the Lord was? You ever been there? There's been many nights I've wondered where in the world God was. I remember one night in particular. I was there at the house, and I can't remember if I had to go preach or something. I don't know what the deal was. But I was praying in my living room. I think I was trying to get a message and trying to get a hold of God. I'd been going through some battles and going through some trials and tests. And it felt like that God was a million miles away. God was nowhere to be found. You ever been there? Maybe I'm the only one. But God it felt like that God was a million miles away. And I know He is a long ways away, but you know, He's still real close, isn't He? But anyway, I remember that night I was there and I was praying. And I kept praying and I kept talking to God. And I kept asking Him, Lord, I need something from You. I need a touch from You. I need to know that You're still there. Amen. And I prayed and I prayed and I wrestled and I walked and I talked and I cried. And sometimes I felt like I'm not even really crying. I just felt like the tears were coming, but there's no effect there. Amen. And so I got finally about 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I walked out the front door and I eased out the front door. Everybody else was asleep. And I went out there and I said, all right, God, I've got to have Your touch. I know You're still real. I know You're still up there. I know that You haven't gone on vacation and You're not dead. I know that You're still God. Amen. And so I went outside and I got on the front walk of my home there. And I began to walk that walk. Amen. And I walked up and down that concrete slab. And I talked to God. And I communed with God. Amen. I don't think I had a bright, shiny face. I don't know exactly what time it was. But I remember looking up into the stars of heaven. And I remember saying, God, I know You're there. I just need a little touch. Amen. Sometimes that's all you need. It's just a little touch. And I remember standing there and saying, God, I just need a little touch. And you know what happened? It seemed like all of a sudden God came down out of heaven and He wrapped His arms around me and He pulled me up close and He let me know that He was still there. Amen. Can I tell you, I was convinced at that moment that God was still right where it had always been. Amen. And I come off of that porch and I cried and I wept and I walked and I talked and God let me know that I'm right here beside You. Amen. You know what happened? It wasn't but a couple minutes. God gave me a scripture. God gave me a text. God gave me a message. And I went that evening and I had to preach and I preached and the Holy Ghost met me again. Can I tell you, you've come too late to tell me that God's not still there. Amen. God's still able to move when we don't think He's around. God's still able to move in the midnight hour when everybody else around us is asleep. Everybody else is maybe just gone somewhere and you need somebody. But God's always there and you feel the effect of His glory as it comes into your midst. Amen. And when you leave, you're a changed person. Amen. Amen. Oh yeah. Amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here tonight. I'm tired. I tell you, I'm tired. I know Sister Texas tired. My wife's tired. I know the girls are tired. We had graduation this week. Amen. And I'm a little tired. But oh, when the glory of the Lord comes down. Amen. Oh, when the presence of the Lord touches me. Amen. It makes me want to cry. Amen. It makes me want to laugh. It makes me want to just keep on talking. Amen. I tell you right now, there's just something about the effects of God's presence in your life. Amen. Amen. Now, if I'm getting too excited, you just let me know, okay? Huh? It's been a long time since I heard Brother Taylor preach. Amen. But oh, you know, I got to thinking about being in His presence. You know, the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord will keep you through the fire, won't it? Just ask the 3 Hebrew children. They'll tell you. They got down there in that fiery furnace. Why? Because the children of Israel, they wanted to bow to an idol. Amen. They wanted to worship a molten calf. But the children of Israel said, nay, nay, I won't have that. Amen. You can do what you want to me, O King. But I know my God's going to live forever. I'm not going to bow down before your God. Amen. I feel like sometimes in our churches that it seems like people are bowing down to images that are no bigger than a little bitty old, I don't know what I could say, but just little old small things that our churches are bowing down to. Amen. And they're coming so easily to us. Just little gods, little things. But the children of Israel looked at that. I mean, the three Hebrew children looked at that big old image. And they said, oh no, we're not going to bow before that old king. You can play all the trumpets you want. You can strike up the guitars and the drums and everything else you got. But we're not going to bow down to your image. Amen. And so they stood their ground. Amen. I believe we need somebody in this day and hour that'll stand your ground. Amen. Won't let the devil come against you. Won't let him rile on you. Won't let him beat you down. But we'll just stand our ground and say, I'm going to stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Amen. I believe that's what the Hebrew boys were saying. I'm going to stand for the Lord that I know is going to bring me out of this. And when they was thrown into the fiery furnace, an old Nebuchadnezzar made it 7 times hotter than it had ever been. Amen. But you know what? When they went in the fire, they didn't go it alone, did they? No, no. They went there, and it may look like they were alone, but God said, I'm going to send somebody down. And he sent a comforter right in the midst of the fire. I don't care what we go through. Oh, it may be wind, it may be rain, or it may be the fire. But can I tell you, God is still able. I said the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord is still able to go through the fire with us. Amen. He's still able to be the fire tamer in our lives. Amen. Amen. Huh? Hey, amen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now, I don't know of anybody in here that's been in the midst of a fiery furnace. I mean, in the midst of a fiery furnace, I should say. I meant to say in a lion's den. Amen. I don't know. There is a difference in a lion's den and a den of lions, okay? Daniel didn't go into a lion's den. He went into a den of lions. And they were really lit. They were in there, huh? Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been in one. I haven't. I don't really desire to go into one. And if you do, then, more power to you, I guess. But I don't, though, we could maybe get down to that if the Lord don't come soon. This world could turn an about face. Amen. It could. We're living in a terrible time. But Daniel, he did the same thing that the Hebrew boys did. He set his face and said, no, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray 3 times a day. Amen. I'm going to pray no matter what the king says, no matter what the king's decree was. I'm going to pray. Amen. And not only was he brave enough to pray, but Daniel was brave enough to open up his window toward Jerusalem. Amen. And get up there right at the window and pray out to God. Amen. I tell you what, we're losing a lot of backbone, aren't we? Amen. People are afraid to say anything about Jesus. I went to church on Friday night over there. Brother Savage was preaching the Bible Holiness. And I went over there and Sister Sly got up to testify. And I'm going to try to hurry here. But Sister Sly got up to testify and she began to tell a story about a man that she's been writing in prison for the last 10 years. And he's been in, I think he might have life. I can't remember, but he's been in prison a long time. But I think through her letters, I think this man had gotten saved in the prison house. And so, she's been writing him letters for years and taking, just praying for him and then just all kinds of stuff. He calls her Mama Sly. Amen. And so Mama Sly gets a letter every month or so from this man in prison. And so he's talking to her and he told her and said, Mama Sly. He said, she'd been talking to him about things of holiness and trying to direct his path and tell him to pray and God will help you. And so he told her, he said, Mama Sly, he said, I watched the TV the other night. He said, now, I don't watch TV a lot, Mama Sly. And he was letting her know that he don't watch it a lot, but I guess there's nothing else for him to do, And so he said, I sat down with some other guys who was watching TV the other night. And he said, they had this talk show on. And in this talk show, it was some, I don't know what it was. They said this woman was living with this man, and this other, her sister was expecting this man's baby, and it was all kinds of a mess. He said there was the mother of the two girls, I think it was there. And she said, you know what your problem is? She jumped up after they were sitting there arguing back and forth. Said she jumped up real quick. She said, you know what y'all's problem is? Y'all need to be saved is what y'all need. Y'all need the blood of Jesus. And so she said, we need to pray right now. And she grabbed her hands and convinced her praying right there on national television. television. Amen. And so, you know, Sister Sly said amen to that. You know, that's good. Somebody took the stand. But he said, you know what, Mama Sly? He said, it really bothered me. But she said, every time that woman mentioned the name of Jesus on that national television station, he said, they bleeped it out. And they bleeped out the name of Jesus. Every time they said Jesus, they bleep it out. And he said, you know what, right after that, the other ones got to talking again. And they got to cursing. And they got to swearing. And he said, every time them words come out of their mouths, it came right across the air. I'm here to tell you that the name of Jesus don't have the effect on people like it used to. Amen. There was a time that you could say the name of Jesus. But then I tell you, it's going to come to where we're not going to be able to say His name. But I tell you what, I want to be like Daniel. I want to have the backbone about me that I can say Jesus in public. Amen. I can whisper the name of Jesus when I'm in Walmart. Or I can whisper the name of Jesus when I'm in the mall. Amen. I'm telling you right now, we need some men and women that will stand up and say, Lord, I want Your glory upon my life. Amen. I want to see the effects of Your glory in my life. And give me the backbone like old Daniel did. Amen. Or had, rather. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. I heard a story one time about a young boy. First time he'd ever been on an airplane. And he got on the airplane and he began to, as he's walking on, began to frantically talk to his mother. It was him and his mother on the airplane together. And began to talk to his mother about being on the airplane and how he was so excited about being on the airplane. And they went up there and they got up there to the seat and they sat down on their seats. And they were sitting there and it wasn't that far from the cockpit. I've never been on a plane myself. You know, I'm like my dad. The Bible said, lo, I am with you always. And so I like to keep it down kind of low, you know. I don't care too much to be too high. My dad said I would go over to one of them. Matter of fact, Brother Ken Taylor called the other day to get my number from my mom and dad. And Brother Taylor said, oh, Sister Sight, said, I got some block that needs to be laid over. Is it Haiti? Is that where they go? And he said, I got some blocks. I need to talk to Brother Sight. And she said, Brother Taylor, you must not know Brother Sight very well. Said, if you can't drive or take a boat, I don't think you're going to make it. Huh? But anyway, Brother Taylor said, oh, it ain't that bad. But Dad said, you know, if I could get over there and keep at least 1 foot on the ground, I think I can make it. But anyway, we don't like to fly. I've never been on an airplane. But this little boy was sitting there on the airplane. And he was right there behind the cockpit door where the pilot goes in and said he was talking to his mama. And he was so excited about being on that airplane. He said, Mama, you think I'll get to meet the pilot? You think the pilot will let me meet him? I'd like to meet the pilot. I'd like to meet the pilot. Everybody around him was laughing because all he wanted to do was just meet the pilot. He wanted to meet the pilot. And so all of a sudden there was the pilot was up there in the seat and he swung around. He said, did somebody ask for me? And the little boy looked out the seat and he said, yes, sir. And so the pilot said, come here, son. And so the pilot took him up there and he closed that little door behind him and got up there in the cockpit and all the controls and everything. And he set that little boy on his lap. Oh, yeah, it was the greatest day of that little boy's life. He sat on that pilot's lap and he looked at all the controls and the pilot showed him all the things that were there and all the gauges. And he said, you know what? So he let the little boy have a little tour, you know, and it just did that little boy's heart so good to be sitting on that pilot's lap. But when he got down and he went to walk away, the pilot said, hold on a minute, son. I've got something for you. And so he reached over a little bucket and he got a little set of plastic gold wings like he had on his shirt. Amen. And so he reached over and he pinned it on that little boy's shirt and he said, there you go. And he let the little boy go out. And they said, when that little boy come out of that cockpit door, he had his shoulders back and he was walking like he was the pilot of that plane. Amen. You know why? Because he was proud of his little set of wings. Amen. They said his face was shining. It looked like he had just had the best day of his life. You know why? Because he had been to the front of the plane and he had met the pilot of that plane. Amen. And when he came back, there was a change on his face. Amen. Well, I cannot tell you, just a few years ago, I got down at an old-fashioned altar and I met the pilot of my flight. Amen.
I met Jesus himself. And when I come away from there, I had a new set of wings and a changed outlook on life. And can I tell you, it's been different ever since. There's something about when you meet the pilot. Amen. There's something about when you meet the Savior. Amen. There's something about when you get into His glory and in His presence, you'll come out changed by the effects of the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. 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 Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Amen. Oh, the effects that you have on us, God. Amen. Sister Texas, come get us a song. Amen. We'll have a little altar call. Is that all right? Amen. How many would like to feel the glory of the Lord come down? Huh? That's what we come to church for, wasn't it? That's why we came here. Amen. Sit there and sleep if you want to. That's why we came to church. Amen. It was to get in and feel the presence of the Lord. I feel it. I don't know about you, but I feel like I can shout a little bit. Amen. I might even be able to run a little bit. Amen. Because there's something about the effects of the glory of God. Amen. Let's all come and find us a place to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Holy Spirit, fall on this place. Father, fill us with your love and grace. Shine your anointing on every face. Holy Spirit, fall on this place.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, fall on this place. Father, fill us with your love and grace. Shine your Spirit.
Desires of our heart, shouldn't it? Be close to the Lord. Amen. Close to the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank the Lord for His Spirit and His presence here.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Anyone have anything they'd like to say?
Hallelujah.
I'll always leave it open. Maybe somebody's not done. Maybe I said enough. I don't know.
Hallelujah.
I'm sure my kids always say that. They probably time me to see how long I preached again tonight. Don't do too bad, though. Amen. Anyone? Sister Texter?
I think we're good.
All right. Amen. Well, we have our camp meeting, the NPA camp meeting's coming up. Can I announce that?
Yes.
I'll put a little plug in for that, I guess. It'll be June the 18th through that week. Is that right? June the 18th? Yeah, June the 18th through that week. Monday through Friday, and we have Brother Shad McDonald preaching for us, and we're looking forward to that. Amen. Brother Shad's a great preacher.
Yes.
Love to hear him preach. He'll be preaching, and then Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, or is it 10:30? Just be there at 10 o'clock. How's that? you'll either be right on time or 30 minutes early. If you get there at 10:30, then you'll be 30 minutes late, maybe. But anyway, it's around that time frame. I know that we're having morning services now. We started that a couple years ago. And we started having morning services Thursday morning and Friday morning. And a guy that y'all might not even know who he is, and I may have heard of him before, Brother Eddie Godby, is going to be preaching them morning services. So if y'all, I don't know, y'all probably know him, I guess. But anyway, we're looking forward to that. I'll tell you what, I love Brother Eddie Godby. I do. I tell you what, that guy, I'm not saying it because he's not here. I really am. I'm not. I do. I love Brother Eddie. He's the same, no matter where you see him. Whether he's feeling bad, he don't matter. He's still got that big old smile on his face. Still Brother Eddie. Amen. I enjoyed his teaching this morning. I've heard him preach a lot, and I've never heard him teach a lesson, but it was great. Amen. So I know y'all enjoy him being here. I know y'all enjoy him being a part of the church. But anyway, he'll be preaching our morning services. We're looking forward to that. Looking forward to what God has in store for us. Amen. We need camp meeting. We do. We need special meetings. It's not a time to come and see what you got, new clothes, new wares. Amen. It's not a time to come find a boyfriend, that's for sure, or a girlfriend, unless you don't have one. I mean, it's a good place to find one, that's for sure, if you're looking. Is anybody looking here? I'm not looking. I can tell you that. Amen. But anyway, Sister Jessica, are you looking? Okay. Anyway, I shouldn't embarrass her. I'm sorry. First time I ever met you, you think I'm the world's worst. Anyway, just come if you can to camp meeting. Amen.
Yes.
And enjoy camp meeting with us. That's right. Is that okay? Feel the Spirit of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. Appreciate your attendance tonight and you're giving me your attention while I preach. I appreciate that. You don't know what it does to a preacher when you're preaching for the first time and you listen to them and, you know, and, so anyway, we're glad you did that. So let's all stand.
Thank you.
I guess we're done, I guess. All right. Amen. Brother Frank, you just miss us in prayer tonight.
Father, Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah. We do thank you.